בשבוע האחרון היה דרמה בבית הכנסת. עשו, which case?
Okay, right, good evening. So here we are. It is shortly before the Parshat HaShavua this week is Mas'ei, which is separate from the Parsha Matot. Last week was Matot, and this week Mas'ei, which means journeys. It is the end of Sefer the Midbar, and as you can see in the Hebrew text, the text from the Torah, it begins off, I'm just looking for the first page. Sorry. So it begins off begins off Ele Mas'ei Bnei Yisrael. These are the journeys of the Jewish people. Asher Yatzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'Tzibotam, by which they went out of the land of Egypt by their hosts, B'Yad Moshe V'Aaron, by the hand of Moshe and Aaron. Now both Moshe and Aaron are involved in leading them. Vayichtov Moshe et Motzaehem L'Mas'ehem. Moshe wrote, it's a peculiar word, Motzaehem. Motza means really source. Their source and their journey, like where they came from and where they went to. That might be a way of translating these words. Al pi Hashem, according to the word of God, ve'ele mas'ehem, and these are their journeys, l'motza'ehem, according to their source. So they went from here and they went to there. They went from here, they went to there. Vayisu Ramses, and they traveled from Ramses, right? That's in the British Museum, you can see Ramesses, lots of information about it. And b'chodesh harishon, in the first month, that's Nisan, b'chamish asayom l'chodesh harishon, on the 15th day, that's the first day of Pesach, having gone out of mimocholat ha-Pesach, the day after offering the Pesach offering, which was at night, then the next day, yatzu b'nei Yisrael b'yad ramah, the children of Israel went out with a high hand, le'enei kol Mitzrayim, before the eyes of all of Egypt, Umitzrayim mekabrim et asher hikah Hashem b'hem kol b'chor, and the Egyptians were burying everyone who had been killed by God, the firstborns, uvelehem asah Hashem shvatim, and God worked justice against their gods that they had trusted in, and because of that they persecuted the Jews. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael miRamses, and the Jewish people traveled from Ramses, vayachanu b'sukkot, and they camped at the place called Sukkot, which is where they built Sukkot, as is described. Vayisu m'sukkot vayachanu b'etam, and then they went from Sukkot, and they camped in Etam, and so on, and it goes through all the different stages of this journey, which takes them to the Yam Suf. You got at the bottom of this first page, Vayisu me'elim v'yachnu al Yam Suf, and that was where the Red Sea, or the Reed Sea, that was where the crossing of the Reed Sea and the destruction of the Egyptians. And then we have how they left there, and they came eventually. In verse 15, Vayisu mirfidim vayachnu b'midbar Sinai. So that's where they got the Torah, at Sinai. And then they went on traveling, and you have a whole list of verses, one after the other, how they were traveling. And then they... And And then they came of verse 38. Verse 37. Vayisu mikadesh, they went from Kadesh, vayachnu boho ahor, and they came to the place called Hor HaHor, the mountain on the mountain, these sages explain. Bikzei Eretz Edom, at the edge of the land of Edom. Vayal Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron the priest went up El Hor HaHor, onto this mountain, Al Pi Hashem, according to the word of God. Vayamat Sham, and he died there. Bishnat Ha'arba'im Letzeit Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. In the 40th year of the Bnei Israel, of the Jewish people going out of the land of Egypt, Bachodesh Hachamishi Ve'echad Lachodesh. That, which one is the fifth month?
Which year? Av?
Yes, it's the month of Av. So that's giving us the Yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen, the first of Av. Va'aron ben Shalosh Ve'eschim Uma'at Shana. He was 123 years old, b'moto b'hor ha'hor, when he passed away at this place, the mountain of the mountain. And then as a result of him dying, the clouds of glory which protected the Jewish people for a time evaporated. Vayishma Kanani melech Arad, and the Canaanites, the king of Arad, v'hu yoshev b'negev b'eretz Kanan, b'vo b'nei Yisrael. He heard about this, and in fact there was a battle with this group of people against the Jews. But anyway, they went on traveling. And it goes on, giving further and further journeys, until finally they come on the next page to 48. Vayachanu ba'avot Moav. They camped in the plain of Moav al Yaden Yerecho, by the Jordan, by the town of Yerecho, Jericho. And so that is where they camped. Vayachanu al Yaden mibeit Hashimot ad Avel Hashitim ba'arvat Moav. They camped. It's telling us how large the camp was. They camped from here to there. And that was the extent of the camp. And this is the 42, there are altogether 42 masa'ot in this journey. So now we are going to explore a discourse that was said by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1981, a year which was very similar in its calendar to this year. And like this year, Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av was on Shabbat. And it's Shabbat Parashat Mas'ei by itself. And this discourse will present us the idea of these journeys as they relate to us as individuals today. And it will communicate this in what I think is a very interesting way, because these 42 journeys are themselves an interesting theme in the Kabbalah, which we will be coming to explore. So first of all, let us try to enter the world of the discourse of the Ma'amar.
With something.
Yes, okay.
We don't waste words in the Torah. So why, in all these journeys, it says they came to such a place, then they left that place, and they came, and so they're repeating it. Everything is repeated. Why? What does it add to?
Has anyone got a suggestion why? Why does it repeat each place, in effect, twice? Yes?
Maybe because that's exactly what the Drasha will be about. You know, it's about steps.
They said they left one place and they went to another place.
Yeah, and then from the place that they...
Oh, I see. So then they left that place and went to another place.
It's obvious they're going from one place to
another. It's very impressive. And it's being
rather than saying they went to and they went to and where they went to.
No, that I wonder whether emphasize the fact that, you know, there's a beginning and an end, and a beginning and an end, and there are steps.
To me, if it says that they left somewhere and then they went somewhere and they left, it suggests that they dwelt in a place.
Yes.
Yes.
you know, otherwise, they're just going to go through it. That's, yes. And that's what it's saying.
They're not just passing.
No,
each step is a
journey,
stage.
The journey are the stages. There is no journey between the points.
Mm.
The journey itself is where the place that they stayed.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
This is also in the website of Chabad.
Well,
bad answers.
Yes.
Well, there it might. You might have noticed that it says
the other ones as well.
Yeah, I checked the Wikipedia as well.
These are the journeys by which they went out of Egypt, because there is a sense in which every step, every time that you make a journey, in a way, one of these journeys, you are leaving Egypt. So each level that you come to, at one moment it's an achievement. You've come to this higher level. You've escaped from a realm of limitation. You've come to a greater perception. And then, with time, as you settle in, that itself becomes Mitzrayim, limitations,
mm-hmm.
and you have to make a step from there, and you have to go beyond that. So it's as if it's giving you time. That's why you could say why it gives you the name of the place twice. They come to that place, and they were there, and then they realize they've got to go on from there. You can't stay there anymore. You have to go on. So every place has got two aspects to it. One moment where it's the discovery, and later on where it's the limitation, and you have to go beyond that discovery. It's like... the march progress. It's very interesting. The
Via
whole
Dolorosa.
Via
Dolorosa.
Erickson's stages of man is better.
Okay, that's a very interesting concept where you are going to further levels of personal development. Yeah.
And you have to be able to leave in order to proceed.
Yes.
That's
yes.
The idea, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a very interesting
same idea.
Yeah. Oh ya yam ba ya ya yom ba bom ba ya yam ba ya yom ba bom ha yam ba ya yam ba yom ba ya ya yom yam ba bom. Oh, ya yiridam ba yam ba yom, ha yiridam ba yam ba yom, ha yiridam ba, ho, yam ba yam ba yiridam ba, ya ya yam ba yiridam ba, ho yam ba bo yam ba bom. Eile masei bnei Yisrael. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, that they went out of the land of Egypt, b'yad Moshe ba'aron, by the hand, the guidance of Moshe and Aaron, v'yidua hadiyuk v'zeh, and it's known the questions asked about this, and it gives a list of references. Lahavin l'shon eile masei, to understand this expression, these are the journeys, shehu l'shon rabim, it is in the plural. Dekai, and it refers, al kol membet hamasot, to all the 42 stages. Ad bo'am el yaden yerecho, until they come to the river Jordan by the city of Jericho. Uchtiv, and it says, asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, it says, these are the journeys by which they left the land of Egypt. Vahare, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, behold, from the land of Egypt, hu rak yitzia unesia rishona. That's only the first exodus, the first journey. Shenasu miRamses. Ramses is in Egypt, and they went from there to Sukkot. So that's one question, which we've already discussed. Gam sarich lahavin, we also have to understand, the hinei haTorah nitzchit. The Torah is eternal. Hainu shehi hora'a nitzchit ba'avodat ha'adam. It is an eternal teaching in the service of the individual, b'chol makom, in every place, u'v'chol zman, and in every epoch, at every time. U'madua nifratu ba'torah, why does the Torah give this detail of kol 42 hamasaot, of all the 42 journeys. So that's taking it even further than you said, David. You said, why is each place mentioned twice, as it were? And he's saying, why they mentioned it all? What difference does it make? We traveled, we went from Egypt to Israel. So there were some centrally important places. There was the Yam Suf, the Red Sea, there was Mount Sinai, and then various significant events happened at a few other places. Most of these places we've hardly even heard of. But here is the list. So what is that significance? Because a basic... See, from the point of view of, just basic thinking about the Torah is it's an expression of the divine. And that aspect, that the Torah is an expression of the divine, in fact, one could wonder whether we understand the Torah at all. Ramban, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, who wrote a commentary on the Torah, which was the first attempt to publicize mystical teachings. There had been Kabbalistic and mystical teachings all the time, but they were usually kept secret, or they were reserved for small groups of very spiritual people. Then Rav Moshe ben Nachman wrote what is in effect a popular commentary on the Torah. It's popular today, and it was popular when he wrote it. And in that commentary, he has many mystical ideas, which he calls Al Derech HaEmet, on the path of truth, various other ways he refers to it. And he says in his introduction that the whole Torah is actually names of God. And it's like a string of divine names. And what's fascinating is the idea that this string of divine names can actually be read, and we can understand the words, and it's telling us anything at all. So the idea that the Torah is telling us something is fascinating, given that in essence it is a stream of divine names. And for Nachmanides, this was such an important concept that he even taught it in a drasha, a teaching he was giving in front of the king of Saragossa. You know that Spain, in his time, in the 13th century, was divided into principalities. It wasn't all one country. So there was Aragon and so on. And he was giving a talk to the king of Saragossa. And the content of the talk is actually there. It was found by someone as a manuscript, but it's published, and it's talking about this idea of the Torah being names. Yes, Akiva?
I thought Hashem only had 72 names.
Well, that's a very interesting question. The whole idea of Hashem's names, in fact, that's one of the issues here with this parsha, because the 42 journeys relate to the name of Hashem, which has got 42 letters. However, the idea that on the one hand, you see the name of Hashem, there's a name which is the Shem Ayin Bet, the name which is 72. And the name which is 72 is a name of Hashem. And then you have many other names. And so in fact there are names of Hashem which are so significant that we mustn't rub them out. So if Yudke Vavke is written on a piece of paper, one is not allowed to rub out that name, and we have to treat it with great care. And that is why an old Sidur, for example, will be put in Shemot, it will be buried, or it'll be put in a special place rather than just thrown away. So there are shemot she'enam nimchakim. There are names which shouldn't be rubbed out. The late Rabbi Jacobovitz of Shalom, the chief rabbi of England, he once was giving a talk where he described how when he was a boy in Vienna, a teacher by accident wrote the name Yudke Vavke on the blackboard. And this caused terrible consternation in the school. And they had to bring a carpenter they could, obviously he wrote in chalk, and it would have been a very easy thing to rub out the chalk, but you mustn't rub out the name of God. A carpenter came along and cut away that piece of the blackboard, and they buried that. And it left a great impression on the young Jacobovitz, and that became that was, he shared that at a talk that I was present at. So it was that's the level of the significance of not rubbing out a name. But then you have other names of God. For example, Shalom is a name of God. So there's a discussion, you know, if a man is called Shalom, can you call him by his name if you're in a place like a mikveh where you normally wouldn't speak words of Torah? Could you call your friend Shalom, even though Shalom is a name, it's a divine name, but it's a different level of divine name, and it can be rubbed out. It doesn't have the same significance. So there are many names, and Nachmanides, Ramban even says the whole Torah is divine names. Of course, the whole Torah is sacred. But to say it's divine names is even more. However, there's another level. Not only are they divine names, and not only are we able to understand something from these divine names, there is a further idea that everything in the Torah is actually telling us something. Every statement in the Torah is giving us some kind of guidance. And that, bringing the Torah as a kind of a ray of light into our own lives, that is a very important perspective. You see, the Rambam writes in Moreh Nebuchim, in Guide for the Perplexed, he accepts the concept, he affirms the concept that every word in the Torah is holy. And he says that the words Va'achot Lotan Timna, the sister of Lotan was Timna, those words are just as holy, says the Rambam, as the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now everyone who is sympathetic to the Torah will understand that Shema is holy, but he says every single phrase is holy as well. But then we have a further step where there is something that we can be taught by everything. And so therefore, what are we being taught by these 42 stages, by these 42 journeys? Okay, then we have in the last three lines of this first paragraph, Gam tzarich lavin, we also have to understand, Ma shekatuv biyad Moshe v'Aaron, that these 42 journeys were by the hand, by the guidance, by the inspiration of Moshe v'Aaron, the Kai al Kol HaMasa'od, which applies to all the 42 journeys. What's the question?
And Aaron died.
That's right. Okay. V'harei b'ha'ahor met Aaron. Aaron died at ha'ahor. How can you say that the journeys afterwards were by the inspiration of Moshe v'Aaron? And the answer to that is actually very simple. That they went on traveling with the inspiration of Aaron, even though he'd passed away, that inspiration still kept them going and enabled them to travel further. So there's the, which comes out towards the end of the Ma'amar, that the inspiration of a leader like Moshe or Aaron does not stop just because they pass away. It is still there. The inspiration continues. Okay, next paragraph. Unukudat habiyo bezeh. Now the basic explanation is v'hakdim mashnit v'el el da'atorai nitzchin. First of all, discussing the idea that Torah is eternal. Shahainu, that means shekol haTorah kula, the entire Torah, he hora'a l'chol echad v'achat b'chol makom u'b'chol zman. That is a teaching to every individual man and woman, in every place and in every time. Now it's interesting that it's written here l'chol echad v'achat, every man and every woman, and it's put in a very unambiguous way that it does mean every man and every woman. The Hine Inyan Zeh, this is an aspect of the way that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, began this process, but the seventh Rebbe, Rebbe Nachum Mendel, continued it in a very intense way of focusing on womanhood as a highly or perhaps the highly significant element within the Jewish people, and a very, very strong focus on the woman as someone who in every way has the same spiritual possibilities as any man. In fact, from the previous Rebbe, there is a most intriguing letter that was written to a young woman. This was in 1939, and she lived in Riga, or 1938 maybe, and it was before the outbreak of the war. He was living in Otwock, which is a suburb of Warsaw, and she was living in Riga, and her name was Chaya Sima Mikhailova, and she wrote a letter to him asking what she should do about Reikut HaMa'asim, the emptiness of action. She was a young woman who was a pious person, she kept the mitzvot, frum, but she's asking a question: what does it mean? What do the actions mean? I'm doing the right action, I'm eating kosher, I'm keeping Shabbat, but so what? What does it say? And he wrote back to her a most fascinating letter, which is a meditation system, and he is teaching her a way of taking a idea which she's learnt in the Torah and sort of coming to a deeper and deeper dimension of that idea until she comes to the Elokut, the godliness, the radiance which is inside the idea. And it's and he's teaching her a technique which can be switched on, as it were, and that anything that you're thinking about, you can apply this technique, that seems to be what it's saying, and come to a very, very deep sense of the spiritual within that. And that seems to be his response to her about the meaning of action, because if you take any idea which informs the action, which fuels the action, and you think into that, then the action itself becomes a channel to something which is radiant and something infinite. And so that's the inspiration which is there on every level. So here you have the previous Rebbe writing to her. I visited Riga some years ago, and a rabbi who was there, Rabbi Balkan, alav shalom, he told me that he had seen a 17-page letter written by the same sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, to another of the young women who were in Riga. He spent a tremendous effort. His collected letters are in something like 14 volumes. And most of the letters are to rabbis, Rosh Yeshiva, people within the rabbinic world. And he ran a rabbinic journal from Warsaw called Hatamim, which is all rabbinic. But at the same time, he was corresponding with women, because he felt that this was something tremendously important, that women should have full access to the spirituality of Jewish thought. And he had a group of young women in Chaya Sima, was part of a group of Achot HaTmimim, they were called, in Riga, who were studying mystical teachings. And in 1940, he came to Riga and he met with them, and two of them said over some of what they had learned by heart, and he spoke with them, and it was a very remarkable event. Now, so this trend was followed by his successor, his son-in-law, and successor, the late Lubavitcher Rebbe, of putting the woman at the center of Judaism, and even saying that the man should learn certain things from the woman, that the woman has a greater sensitivity in some areas which a man should learn from those from that dimension. So that's just the fact that it says l'chol echad v'achat. That's to each man and woman. So there is an internal teaching. Mimasha katuv, now this is understood, third line down. Mimasha katuv, anochi Hashem elokecha. I am Hashem elokecha. Now elokecha, alright, it's written with a kuf instead of with a hey. But there is a very interesting idea that this word elokecha, let's just, I'm writing two words here. Here we have the word Elokim. Elokim is God with a mem sofit, with a shloss mem, with a closed mem. Now, if this mem opens up, it becomes a chaf, a chaf sofit. So it's like there's Elokim is God, but then this closed mem opens up and it becomes your God. And it's as if Hashem is saying to each of us, I am your God, your particular God in the singular, you in the singular, your God. And it's as if God is in some sense opening up something of himself in order to give himself to each of us. Elokecha l'shon yachid, in the singular. Asher hotzeiticha, I am God who took you out in the singular. L'shon yachid, in the singular, I took you out of Egypt. Shenema, which was said, l'chol echad v'achat, to every individual person, man and woman. Ochashem shluhu ba'aseret hadibrot, the same way that it is in the Ten Commandments. Al derech zel b'chol ha'Torah kula, so it is in the whole Torah. Shnitna, which was given l'chol echad v'achat miYisrael b'frat, which was given to every single individual Jew, man and woman, individually. V'hainu, that means da'av sheyesh chalakim b'Torah, even though there are parts of the Torah hamadabrim al dvar mitzvah, which speak about certain commandments, hashayachot l'alviyim, which relates specifically to the Levites, v'Yisraelim, or specifically to Yisraelim and not Levites. Al derech mashal, for example, b'chol zeh, nonetheless, harei gam heim, also these laws nitnu la'kohanim, were given to the kohanim, v'chein la'hefach, and the opposite too. So, in other words, every part of the Torah, even if it seems that it doesn't apply to me because it's only to a woman or to a kohen, or and I'm neither, nonetheless, it does apply to me in some way. In some way, it applies to each of us. Val derech ze bechlalut am Yisrael. So, in general, for the whole Jewish people. The av sheyesh mitzvot sheshayachim l'rosh echem shivteichem, even though there are some mitzvot which apply to the leaders. V'yesh mitzvot sheshayachim l'gercha shebekerev machanecha. In Parashat Nitzavim, it gives like a list of different kinds of people in the Jewish people. So it would seem that there are some mitzvot which are only for the a proselyte in the gates. Mikol makom, nonetheless, harei kol haTorah kula nitna, the entire Torah was given l'chol echad v'achat miYisrael, to every individual Jew, man and woman, v'chula hora nitzchit, and all of it is an eternal teaching, l'chol echad v'achat, to each individual. Not only is it a teaching sometime in our life, it's there all the time. Yochashem sha'Torah nitna l'chol echad v'achat. Just as the Torah was given to each individual, keinu gam be'inyan hazman, similarly with time. Shekol haTorah hi ora, that the entire Torah is a teaching, al kol hazmanim, for all times, every single period of time. Kolel gam zman hagalut, including also the time of exile. And then it goes on to say that in fact the time of exile is a very long time. And so that proves how the Torah applies to that time. V'adraba, on the contrary, davka zman hagalut, particularly for the time of galut. Shahari b'chamut hazman, so it explains that it goes through a sort of a list of dates, that in terms of the time of how long the temple stood was much smaller than the time of the temple. So it must be, if we move on to the second page, umezemuvan, the top of the page, שגם בעניין המסעות, that also as regards these journeys, יש הוראה נצחית לכל אחד ואחד בכל זמן, for every person always, כל אלו במיוחד בזמן הגלות, especially in a time of exile. Okay. והעניין הוא, now the subject is as follows. דהנה ידוע, it is known, שעניין המסעות, that the concept of journeys, ישנו בעבודת כל אחד ואחת, is there in the service of each individual person, each man and woman. דכל איש מישראל, every Jew, במשך ימי חייו, during the course of his life, or her life, עובר את מבית המסעות, passes through these 42 journeys. Now, we're going to look at this in different ways. ומיד כשנולד, as soon as he's born, or she's born, אז יוצא מארץ מצרים. He leaves Egypt. כי ביותו בעיבור בבטן אמו, when he is in the womb of his mother, in the state of pregnancy, הוא בבחינת גלות. This is described by the sages as a kind of exile of the child in Egypt. הנמשל לעיבור, which is compared to pregnancy. Now that's an interesting idea, because it is giving a positive perspective on what exile is. Exile is a process whereby the child grows to the extent that it develops until it's able to leave that state of ibur, that state of pregnancy. And so there is a sense in which, for the individual, the moment of birth is a moment of yitziat mitzrayim. An interesting idea. And in Chabad, the idea of a birthday is something very significant. Because the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he wrote a kind of a diary in 1943, was published a diary. And on the day of his own birthday, the 11th of Nisan, he wrote, what is a birthday? It is a time for a person to think about the nature of their life, what have they achieved in the past, what will they be achieving in the future. And like a time of cheshbon hanefesh, of taking stock. And later, the Rebbe recommended that people in general should make some kind of fuss about their birthday. Not, he wasn't speaking about a party. He was talking about a verbrengen, a hitva'adut, of having friends together and singing spiritual songs and telling words of Torah teaching and stories and some kind of in the yeshiva, which is a few streets away from here. When a boy has a birthday, he learns a discourse, one of these ma'amarim, by heart, and they sing the melody, and then he says the discourse by heart, and they say l'chaim, and there are he takes on hachlatot tovot in different aspects of life. So it's a step. A bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah is a step, but in fact every birthday is something significant. So we can understand that in terms of, if the idea of birth is yitziat mitzrayim, is going out of Egypt. So every year celebrating another level of going out of Egypt. ובמשך ימי חייו, and in the time, during the days of a person's life, הוא נוסע מדרגה לדרגה. He or she goes from level to level. עד שבהגיעו ל-120 שנה, till when he reaches 120 years, אז בא אל ארץ החיים העליונה, then he comes to the upper land of life. So there we have this. So that's when he goes across the Yarden into the holy land, but that's the land of life which one goes to after 120 years, or possibly more, with medical science.
Or less.
Or less. Sometimes. Okay. But let us hope it's all in a good way. So in other words, life is a process of 42 journeys, and one can feel that every step in one's life, and every new challenge, every new job, and every new home, and every new situation that one comes into, And there are many different challenges which in a sense increase as life goes on. So each challenge is there, that is another challenge, and that is another step, another journey, in a positive way. And then, in a similar way, you could say every single day. The betchilat hayom, because at the beginning of the day, harehu ki'inu nolad mechadash. The person as if he or she was just born. Shezeu inyan ha'masa harishon. That's the first journey. Ubasof hayom, and at the end of the day, nishmato ola lemala. His soul or her soul goes above, lishov lachayim, to draw life. Eliezer, as it says in the Midrash, the nature of sleep, that at sleep the soul ascends to a higher world, shezeu amasa acharon, which is the final journey. So that is so that's also in a day, all the different dramas that happen in a day. That's and in fact, there is a Hasidic custom of saying Kriyat Shema Lamita, when saying the Shema before going to bed, that itself is a time of Cheshbon HaNefesh, that's a time of taking accounting of the soul, what has been achieved in this day, what opportunities were missed, what happened. And it's as if each day has got tremendous, tremendous possibility, with all kinds of possible things happening, and one evaluates it at the end of the day, and one goes to bed with the idea, ma'machshava, that morgen soll sein schöner behind. Tomorrow will be better than today. So that determination is the way one goes to sleep, and then one wakes up. As the Shulchan Aruch says, one should wake up like a lion. So the question is asked, if a person goes to sleep like a horse, like exhausted, how can you wake up like a lion? And the answer is that when you go to sleep, you don't go to sleep like a horse. You have a cheshbon hanefesh, and you have a critical view of the whole day, and then you go to sleep, and then when you wake up, you are like a lion, because your sleeping is in order to achieve something positive. Then we have Inyan HaMasa'ot Ba'avodat HaAdam. We've had it in terms of life as a whole, or the process of a day. Now we can apply it to the spiritual dimension of a person relating to God, who shetzarich lahalot ba'kodesh. The person has to go higher and higher in levels of holiness. V'lahalot midarga ledarga ba'avodato b'kdusha gufa. That in terms of spiritual service, and Judaism has opportunities for spiritual relationships with God, and in that also we should be climbing higher. The miyad kashenolad harehu bevchinat kedusha. As soon as one is born, there's a quality of holiness. Yesh lo guf kadosh. There is a body which itself is holy. Vegam tchilat knisat nefesh zu hakedusha. And also the beginning of the Nefesh Elokit, the divine soul entering the person, influencing it, himiyad betzeito la'avi ha'olam, is as soon as the baby is born, there is this spiritual quality about the baby. Va'af ha'pichen, and nonetheless, sarich lahalot b'kodesh, one has to climb higher. Haynu liyot b'matzav shel aliyah midarga ledarga b'kdusha gufa, to go from level to level in the realm of holiness, ad sheyavo l'masa acharon, till one comes to the last state. In other words, we can never stand still. What this is saying is a constant dynamic. There's a constant sense of movement, of progress, progress for oneself, progress for the Jewish people. There's a sense in which there's a theme of progress for the world. A historian once spoke, called Yosef Yerushalmi, a modern American historian, a historian of Jewish history. He wrote a book called Zachor. And Zachor means remember. And he's discussing the question whether in Jewish thought there is actually any sense of historical consciousness. Now, you might say, what a ridiculous question. Of course Jewish thought's got historical consciousness. Look, here we are, we're in the 3 weeks, we're approaching Tisha B'Av, we remember that there was the destruction of the temple. We have the festivals, which relate to going out of Egypt. He said, yes. But it's all going round and round. It's all a kind of a cycle, and in the cycle of the year, yes, you have these different, like, memories, these different historical memories, but it's not actually moving anywhere. There isn't any real progress. It's just going round and round. It's not actually a sense of historical development. So I was discussing this with a colleague of mine, and we agreed, you know what he's saying, if you just read the Shulchan Aruch, let's say, it might look like that. But if you look at the Kabbalistic tradition, it doesn't look like that at all. Because from the point of view of the Kabbalistic tradition, in fact, there is progress, there's movement, there's development. And the way we celebrate Pesach or Tisha B'Av this year is different to the way we celebrated it last year. There is always this sense of movement and progress. And this discourse, this Maimah, is emphasizing a constant sense of aliyah, of movement, and of progress, and of change.
I had a nice example of that. Instead of just a circle, it's a spiral. So you're going round, but you're actually going up, let's say. So at the same side of the cycle, circle, it's the same festival or whatever, but you're not at the same level.
Yes.
Going up, like a screw.
That's a beautiful image. Yeah, so it's like a spiral which is going higher and higher. So you're meeting the same things. You meet Purim, and then Pesach, and then Shiva Osir ben Shavuot, and then the 17th of Tammuz, and then Tisha B'Av, and so on. But actually, it's going higher and higher, so it's always different. Every moment is different. Yeah, absolutely. So there we have Aderech Zeh. בכל יום ביום, every day, צריך להיות עבודתו, צריכה להיות עבודתו, בבחינת עלייה מדרגה לדרגה, one service has to be trying, striving higher and higher, עד שבסוף היום, אומר, till at the end of the day, when we say קריאת שמע על המיטה, when we say שמע before going to bed, we say בידך אפקיד רוחי. In your hand, O God, I commend my soul. ואז נשפטו עולה למעלה, לשוב לחיים ממקור החיים עליון. Then, when we go to sleep in that mood, the soul actually rises above to draw life from the source, the upper source of life, right? A very spiritual perspective on sleep and the possibilities of sleep. From this we can understand why the number of journeys is 42. As it explains in the Kabbalah, Sheshem Mem Beit Hu Hashem, the name, the divine name of 42 letters, among all the different names that Akiva mentioned, the name which has got 42 letters, Hu Hashem She'inyano, it is that name which its quality is, Liot Le'ezer V'Siyua, it's to be a help, Unetinat Koach, it is to give power, בכל עבודה של העלאה מלמטה למעלה. At every kind of service in which we're trying to rise from a lower to a higher level, the name, that name of God with 42 letters is the name which helps us rise. So there is a particular name of God which has got that quality. ומשום זה יש מם בית מסעות, because of that there are 42 journeys, לפי שעניין המסעות, because the concept of these journeys הוא מלמטה למעלה, is from below to above, סולם מוצב ארצה, וראשו מגיע השמיימה. Like the image of Yaakov, Jacob sleeping, dreaming of a ladder, the ladder standing on the ground, and the head of the ladder in the heaven, ולפיכך צריך להיות שייך לשם מבית, and therefore it has to be connected with the name of God, which is 42 letters, Mispar Membet, the number 42. Now, if you could please look at the other piece of paper which I gave you, you have there the divine name which has got 42 letters. Now, this name, you have it here in the morning prayer. It's on a separate piece of paper. Oh, you didn't get it?
Yeah.
Thank you. I did.
One second. But you haven't got to this.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you've got it. Okay. Right. We've all got it. Right. Okay. Thank you. Thanks very much. Now, the point is, this is said in the... I'm actually, at this moment, I'm not sure whether in the Ashkenazi tradition they have this. But in all the different Hasidic and Sfardi traditions, I believe it is there. And it's said at particular points in the day and in the week. So it is said in the morning prayer at the end of Birchot HaShachar. You see all the different steps of Birchot HaShachar. The next thing will be Zeh Mekoman, and then the beginning of the morning service. The
you talk about Ana Bekoach.
Yeah, Ana Bekoach.
This is from Kabbalah Shabbat.
Now, it's also... Now, you see, so I'm just going through the times when we say it. So we've got in the morning prayer. It is also said before the afternoon prayer. People say Korbanot, and they say this as well, and then launch into Ashrei of the Mincha prayer. It's also on Kabbalat Shabbat, as we move from the week into the Shabbat, just before Lecha Dodi. Mm-hmm. So in other words, this represents a movement up. As we are leaving the ordinary world into Shabbat, then we say this. And also each day, I think it's more widespread, probably, for Erev Shabbat, as a custom. So as we're going from stage to stage, and so we say this. Now, if you look on the left-hand side, you have a set of letters which are the actual letters of the name, and you can see they're in groups of six letters, and there are seven groups, and these seven groups, that's 42 letters altogether. Now that's the actual name. Those 42 letters, that is the divine name with 42 letters. However, the tradition is Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, who was a Tana of the Mishnah and is famous for his Kabbalistic teaching, and there is a book called Sefer Hakana which is attributed to him. He composed this poem which goes together with these letters. So if you look on the words on the right hand side, Ana Bechoach Gudulat Aleph Bet Gimel. Now on the left hand side you've got Aleph Bet Gimel Yimincha Tatir Tzchura Yud Taf Tzadik, and there you have Yud Taf Tzadik. So in fact it is a poem made out of these 42 letters, and at the end of the entire poem we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Lo'olam Va'ed, blessed be the name of the glory of his kingship forever and ever. Having said a divine name, we express the greatness of the divine name in that way. And it's a very beautiful poem, and we have it here also in English translation. It's so that is an expression, that is the Shem Mem Bet, that is the name with 42 letters, and so that name is therefore a constant part of our lives, and it represents the 42 journeys which are there in the Torah. Okay, now let's go a little bit further. So we're up to the word Vehine. Vehine ba'avodat ha'aliyah midarga ledarga, the service of traveling, of rising from one level to another, sichai liyot ba'ofen kazeh, has to be in such a way shehanesiyah hi shelo be'erech madregato hakodemet, that the journey, the new step, is something absolutely beyond the previous level. Now that's a very interesting idea that we find repeatedly in Hasidic thought, that movement means a completely new dimension, not just something more. You learn 3 pages, now you're learning 6 pages, but a completely new dimension altogether. And the whole zman sheyesh lo eizo shaychut lemadrigoto hakodemet, if there's any kind of relation to the previous level, it's not really a journey. That's why it says each time that at the beginning that they went out of the land of Egypt, page 300. Every level that we rise away from it, he bevchinat Mitzrayim, is Egypt legabe hamadrega shel acharei, compared with the level which follows it. So you realize that this is not enough. It's impossible. You have to go beyond. When you think of the artistic imagination, so a person is an artist. So they've been painting in a particular style. Judith is a very wonderful artist, and they've been painting in a particular style, and suddenly they find, no, I have to go beyond this, I can't paint in this style anymore, I have to go beyond, and suddenly that old style, it becomes gequetscht for them. I don't know whether Judith will agree, because all her styles are very interesting.
You have to change.
And so there's that step, going beyond. And so it is in many aspects of life. So v'lachein ha'masa mimena nikha yitzid Mitzrayim. And therefore, traveling away from that previous stage is called going out of Egypt. So all the time we're going out of Egypt. U'ba'avodat ha'adam. Now that's a very interesting idea. That in the service of the individual, b'chol yom, every single day, that is what we do when we say the Shema. A person wakes up in the morning and we come to say the Shema. The Shema is a moment of going out of Egypt. The Shema is a preparation for the Amidah. That's the main prayer. When a person is completely inert, like a servant before their master, that's the moment of saying the Amidah, the Shmona Esre. But when one is saying the Shema is a moment of Yitziyat Mitzchayim. And that's why we say at the end of the Shema, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Tzeiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of the land of Egypt. That's the third paragraph of the Shema. Which is explained by the sages that so the saying of the Shema is actually going out of Egypt, and that is why v'zeo gam masha pashari shona the Kriya Shema, that the first paragraph of the Shema, yesh, leave out the brackets, yeshba membet tevot, has got 42 words. So when you count the words of v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha until Bisharecha, that has 42 words, because that is 42 stages of journeying, of going out of Egypt and of transformation, and that is what we are doing every single day. We are leaving Egypt and coming to a higher level, and it's there with the saying of the Shema as well. And ubeze gufa yachol liot שהדאגה בקדושה שעומד בו היום נקראת מצרים. You could say that the level of holiness, it's very spiritual, the person's a very spiritual person, but nonetheless the level they're on today, נקראת מצרים, is called Egypt, לגבי הדאגה של האחריה, compared with the level after. דאף שהוא במצב של מסירות נפש, even though he's on a level which seems like total dedication, self-sacrifice, Mikol makom harei ze nikra mo'odecha. Nonetheless, that is called your level of mesirut nefesh, mo'od shelcha, your own dimension of dedication. V'kivan shehakadosh baruch hu ein sof, and since God is infinite, harei yachol lalot lema'ala mizeh, one can go higher than that, ad ein sof, infinite. So there's always a step beyond. In the course I gave at the university about Hasidism and modernity, so it's interesting, you know, how do you define modernity? What is it, you know, was the year 1200 modern compared with the year 1150? according to sociologists and historians, there are a number of ways they try to define modernity, and one of the ways is a thirst for continual change, that it has to be different. It's true that we had certain kinds of change earlier on, but in fact the ethos of medieval society was to be exactly the same, and that's what people wanted to be, and even if they weren't the same, they would pretend they were the same. Whereas our ethos is to be different and change, that concept of change. So I'm presenting a course in which we're looking at the traditionalism of Hasidism and Orthodox Judaism, which seems all the time to be talking about the past and the Torah, which will never change, and everything has to be just the same. And yet it's in this sea of modernity. And so one of the points I try to express is that within Hasidic thought there is actually a philosophy of change. And here we have this idea all the time that whatever level the person is on, it's a spiritual level, and you might think that that's fine, but no, one has to leave that. That is in fact a restrictive dimension, and one has to change, one has to go beyond. So that's all in a discussion about modernistic elements in the Hasidic tradition. So, v'hine hamasa harishon. Now, concerning the first journey, Ktiv Beit says about it, v'yisu miRamses. They traveled from Ramses, right? Ramses. V'yesh lomar b'derech efshar abir b'zeh. And one could suggest possibly the explanation of this, al pi hamavuah, as is explained, belikutei Torah la'arizal, in the book which is called Selected Teachings on the Torah by Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. Now there are a number of books that were transmitted of the teachings of Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, and this is one of them. It's arranged according to the Parshat HaShavua. And there we have at the beginning Rosh Parshat Shemot, at the beginning of Shemot, V'zeh L'shono Sham. This is what is written there in this Kabbalistic book of Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. Liyot ki shivim panim la Torah, since there are 70 faces of Torah, ve'echad mehem hu remez, and one of them is the hint. Now that idea is actually in the Talmud as well. The Talmud has the idea that there's 70 faces of Torah, and one of the aspects of the Torah is Remez, where we have the four Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod, the simple meaning, the hint, the deeper discovery, and the esoteric, the secret. But this is what it says in this book of Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, V'hine yiridat Yisrael Mitzrayim, the descent of the Jewish people into Egypt, Hu romez, that is a hint, al havlad ba'odo b'toch beten imo. That's like the embryo while it's still in the womb of its mother, bein hamtzarim ahema, in that kind of limited situation. So the going into Egypt, it's very interesting that it was when we were in Egypt that we turned into a people. You have Yaakov and his 70 offspring, children and grandchildren. They come into Egypt, and this large family turns into the whole Jewish nation, and it's somehow the crucible of Egypt. And that is like the womb where the embryo actually forms. Umam Shechsham, and it continues there. Et Pitom. So the place called Pitom, Hu HaPeh, this is a remez to the mouth. Kishom Kol HaTa'avot, that is where, it's the mouth where many of our desires are focused. Lehitchazek bo et hayetzer hara, where our passion for material things focuses on our mouth, le'echol v'lishtot, eating and drinking. V'zeu pitom, that is pitom, pi tohom, the mouth of the depth. Right? In other words, be careful with the mouth, ki omer, because the mouth is always saying, have, give more, le'echol v'lishtot, to eat and to drink.
I think Freud should have read it.
And ve'et Ramses, ve'et Ramses, and then Ramses shuhu hamasas. How do you say masas or masas? The maw, the stomach. La'akel hamacham, to digest the food. Vuhu, what is the word Ramses? Meses ra, that is a negative kind of digestion, because the person is so much focused on physicality, materiality. Behind that means Ramses meramez al kli haikul. Ramses, the city of Ramses in Egypt or in the British Museum, hints at the organs of digestion. Shal ze amru, about which they say, Malek chese zine bishi, that he, this is a quote from the Talmud, he filled his belly with bad qualities. Ki ikar inyan malek chese, the idea of filling one's belly. You know, the Rambam in his chapters on health, in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, he also has some chapters on health, Hilchot Deot. And he says, don't eat until you feel full. That is unhealthy. Eat, yes, but not to the sense of feeling full. Because that sense of feeling full in itself, whatever you're eating, whether you're eating healthy food or unhealthy food, it is not good for you to eat to that extent. Always, you know, always leave room. So, because the very fact of the belly feeling full, va'az va'yishman yeshurun va'yivat, as it says in the Torah and Hazinu, that yeshurun, the Jewish people, grew fat, and because they grew fat, they kicked against God. V'zeu inyan ha'masar yishon, so this is the first journey, va'yisum Ramses, traveling away from there, away from Ramses. Shehi aliyah mimekom zed av'yishman yeshurun v'yivat, that is traveling away from that place where Yeshurun becomes fat and kicks against the divine. Ba'achar kach himshah masa'ot, and after that there are the other journeys, ad shebayim el yaven yivecho, until they come to the edge of the river and at the place of Yericho. Yericho.
There are also two other ways of looking at it. The mouth and the stomach. The mouth is saying words of Torah and Tefillot. The stomach is giving you the energy and through the food that it gives to do all that. So there's the positive sides.
You're quite right. And it's by breaking out of the restriction of the negative that one is able to come to the positive dimension. So even to the side that the you could say that the mouth is speaking the words of the Torah, and as you say, the stomach's giving the energy and it's giving the depth and the sincerity. That's all coming from the total person. So that would be a way of breaking out of the negative dimension of Ramses and coming and Pitom Ramses and coming to a higher level within the same person. Because here we're talking about a journey where it's the same person and the same physical person with the same physical quality, but nonetheless having made a journey beyond and going beyond. And it's a very interesting idea.
The Jewish people with the same physical person.
Well, there is a sense in which this discourse is a universal, has a universal dimension to every human being, to every individual. Certainly it's there as it applies to the Jewish people within their particular circumstance. Mm. But every human being is challenged in the sense of how are they going to live their lives and are they going to live in such a way which is limited and focused on...
But it's also applicable to a collective as well.
Yes, you mean as a people as a whole, and what is the concern of that people? Yes, yeah, I mean the original story of going out of Egypt is the whole Jewish people leaving Egypt, so...
Although, of course, the tribes go through the sea in different...
different channels.
Tributaries, yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of an interesting concept.
Okay.
In other words, even when they were fleeing, they actually were separate.
Yes, or you could say they each have their own individual part. Mm. That's like Hashem is your God with the individual, that for each person there's something which is special. Now, in the next paragraph, which is in the penultimate page, the first paragraph is the idea that v'hinei chol avodah tzrichan el netinat koach v'siyua milamayla. Everything we do needs a certain power of inspiration from above. V'zeh v'yichtav Moshe ad motzaim lemaseim. That's why it says Moshe wrote their source and their journey. Moshe hu sheshvina demalka. Moshe, he is, as it were, he is the one who is assisting the king. The shushbin is like the best man at a wedding, and so there's the shushbina de malka and shushbina de matronisa. The Zohar speaks about this, the Midrash as well, that in the marriage of the Jewish people and God, each one has got a shushbin who is like the person, the unterfir, we say at a marriage, that when one gets married, one's parents are the unterfir who bring you to the chuppah, Bezal Hashem.
I'm thinking about Moshe as the midwife.
The interferer.
The one that slips them out.
Okay, all right. That's, what are you saying?
It's a bit like the interferer.
Oh, yeah, the interferer. The interferer. Okay.
It's super, super, super interferer.
So Moshe, who hamamshich koach milamayla, he is the one who draws power from above. He draws from their source. Hainu, he's translating the words mimakor umotzeh haneshamot, from the source, the origin of the souls, el maseim, to their journeys lamata mata. So, in other words, we need a connection to our source, and that's the power of what Moshe does, that he enables us to connect with our source, and shazeu. And then, how does this come about in the full way? It goes on, v'al-yedei netinat koach zu, through this giving of power, ba'avodah demasaot milamata lamayla. The power of this journey goes not only from below to above, shezeh al-yedei Aaron shushpina dematronita. That's through Aaron, who is the one who is with the kala, with the bride. Shehu ha-malet neshamot Yisrael. He lifts up the souls of the Jewish people. Kamo shekatuv ba'alotcha et ha-nerot. It says to Aaron, when you lift up the lights, you light the lights, but you make the flames rise up by themselves. Va'ad de'ele maseim lemotzeim. And these are their travels to their source. She'oleh lemay lemayla lebchinat motzeim. We go because of the power that comes from our source to our soul below. Our soul is able to rise up from below to above to our source. The spirit goes back to Hashem who gave it. So in other words, there are two dimensions, from Moshe and from Aaron. They represent our sages who give us the inspiration in order to carry this out. And what it says in the next paragraph is the way in which Aaron, even though he passed away, the last three lines of the next paragraph, ubaze yuva mashakatuv biyad Moshe v'Aaron, that it's through the hand of Moshe and Aaron, avsha masot she'acharei ha'ahor, even though the last few journeys, hayu achamitat Aaron, were after the death of Aaron, mishum she'apula she'pal Aaron, because the effect that Aaron achieved b'masa'ot shelifnei zeh in the previous journeys, nimshechet u'po'elet pulata, it continues to have its effect gam al ha'masa'ot shel acharei zeh, also after, also the journeys after that. And then we come to the final paragraph. V'hinei tachrit ha'masa'ot, the goal of these journeys, hu lavo el yarden yerecho, to come to the River Jordan, to Jericho, the Bechlalot Am Yisrael, u'inyan biyat Mashiach Tzidkenu. In general, when you're talking about the Jewish people as a whole, like you just said, not, that is the coming of Mashiach. And about Mashiach, it says, demorech v'dayin, that he can smell out the, because it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, v'haricho b'yirat Hashem, his scent will be with fear of God. So the Gemara says, demorech v'dayin, he will be able to scent out what is good and what is bad. And so yiricho, which is reach, scent, relates to that. V'zeo inyan yiricho manula shel Eretz Yisrael b'chinat reach, that Yericho is like the scent of the land of Israel. And that's what it says about Mashiach, v'lo l'marei nav lishpot, v'lo l'mishma aznav, rak morach v'dayin. So that is that quality of not judging through what he hears and sees, but through the scent. But the scent, omnan reach hu davar sh'neshama nehenet mimena, the sense is something that the soul is sensitive to and enjoys. Haynu sheshayach beikar neshama, the scent relates to the soul. Mikol makom, and nonetheless, nimshach mibchinat hareach lemata mimenu, from the scent it comes down below to the sight of his eyes and to the hearing of the ears. And that is why eventually, now it comes to the whole concept of the relationship with the divine in the time of Mashiach. Now, we have a problem in the present about the name of God. The name of God that I spoke about earlier, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which, writing here, not as Yud Kei Vav Kei, but just as Yud Dalad, Vav Dalad. Now, in fact, we never say that word. We say it, we pronounce that word as if it was written Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. And though that's the letter, when a person is reading a bracha or in the Torah, they come across this word and they pronounce it as if it's written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Adoshem. Yes, that's what a person says. So even when they're praying, so there's no, the Kohen Gadol in the temple, he would say this name with a hey, he would say it in its original way, in its essential way. But this name, as it's written now, is never said in the time of Galut. Maybe not?
Why?
Kachia, that's because it is such a holy name that it cannot be said in our time of Galut. Only in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he would say this name, or in the Birchat Kohanim. But it wasn't said as, it always has some great spiritual power. We don't write it, but we don't even say it. Because what we say is a different name. When one reads a pasuk in the Torah, we recite it.
You write a dalet instead of a hey.
I wrote a dalet instead of a hey, but we don't pronounce anything like this. You see, if you were reading a bracha, you would say Baruch Ata. And the word you would say is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's the letters of the word that you say, even when you're making a bracha. Yeah, not even when we're discussing it, we can't even say that word.
Yeah,
say each word. That's right. We say Hashem. But when you are actually saying the bracha, this is the name of God, but you don't say this word at all, right? So that's v'zeo mashal atid lavor.
Derived from pre-verbal experiential concept of continuity.
I think it was a couple of weeks ago that we actually discussed this name, different ways of thinking about this name, that it's past, present and future, or it is the source of all being, ways of interpreting this name. But certainly it's a realm beyond. Now in the future it says, Kashem shani nichtav kach ani nikra. So I'm written, I will be read. Sheyeh gilui elokut ba'olam, that the revelation of godliness will be in the world, as it says, "Vahayta Hashem Amlucha, Vahayi Hashem LeMelech Al Kol Haaretz," that God's kingship will be revealed in the world. Now this revelation of the divine name of the Tetragrammaton, that's the high priest in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. And that is that unique moment in the year, the quality of the one unique day and the particular person among the Jewish people, the high priest. And achat, that oneness, is yechida, is the very essence of the soul. So it will be in the future. When Mashiach will be revealed, which is pchinat hayechida, because the coming of Mashiach means that each person, in each person, the quality of yechida, the quality of Mashiach in each individual is revealed. That's the power of the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach is not only a particular person and particular events which are taking place outside. It's things which are happening inside the person. It's a revelation of equality within the person. Then will be, as it says in the Talmud, that this name, Yudke Vavke, will be read, will be said as it's written, because there will be the temple and there will be the Kohen Gadol. As it says in the Talmud, beautiful phrase. From the Talmud, locked away in the books of the Talmud over there on the shelf, it will flow down into the world. Then God will show to all nations of the world, safa brura, clear expression, kulam, that all of them should call b'shem Hashem, by the name of God, la'avdo shchem echad, to serve Him together, b'viat Mashiach tzidkenu, with the coming of Mashiach, yavo v'yigalenu v'yolechenu k'mamit la'atzenu, may He come and redeem us and bring us upright to our land b'mhera b'yamenu mamash, swiftly in our day.
I said, I wish that I could say Amen.
Amen.
You're just did. Yeah, I know. There was a qualifying clause.
But it's almost like an anticlimax. Because if it says that the whole issue is an endless journey, you know, it's almost like an anticlimax, because it's a drop,
Why? Because Mashiach come.
I remember as a child, I thought it was going to, it's a drop rather than, it was going to stop this process.
Well, maybe you would say that Mashiach begins the process on a higher level. There is the process as it is in Galut, and then there's a higher level of process when Mashiach comes, that it's a new beginning.
Is there ever any discussion of, once Mashiach's come, of steps that you will need to take within that stage? There's never a discussion of.
Well, you see, sometimes there is, because of the idea of God being Ein Sof, of being infinite. So therefore, you have the idea that going, the time of exile is a time when bad is predominant, and the force of bad, crime, negativity. So one can get out of that situation in which there's no crime and there's no war and there's only good. But in that situation of there only being good, then from that one is able to advance to higher good and to higher good and to higher good. So step after step after step. So as I think we discussed the other week about the Shemitah concept, that we are in the first Shemitah, we're in the first 7,000 years, and then there will be 7 times 7,000 years. Mashiach will come now, B'ezrat Hashem. So that, but that's still our first Shemitah, our first set of 7 millennia, 7 millennia. And we come to the 7th millennia, which will be millennium, which will be the Shabbat HaOlam, the Shabbat of the world. Then we'll begin the next Shemitah. And then the next, and the next, and seven Shemitah is Yovel. So 49,000 years, after 49,000 years is the 50th thousand, which is Yovel. And it says in books of Kabbalah that the period of existence of the universe is Nun Alafim Yovelot, 50,000 Yovelot. So that means 50,000 times 50,000 years, 250 million years, that is the period of existence. And we're right at the beginning of that. And that is all the level, a matter of going higher and higher and higher, more and more spiritual discoveries and challenges and
this is still a finite number.
Finite, yeah.
It's still a finite number, sure. And then existence.
So what happens after that?
Well, then the process of creation is concluded. And then there's just infinite God. So our sense of separation and all that different dimensions of relationship with God through creation, that moves to a level where finally it dissolves away in God.
No, it's nice, it's very nice.